Can I tell you guys how excited I am about the Christmas series this year? It's really cool. I'm not going to go into the specifics, but you can think through what does it look like? What does the journey look like to the manger and then ultimately to the cross? And what does that look like in our lives individually as well as the lives of our friends, of our neighbors, of our coworkers? So it's a great time to invite somebody to come on out. And listen, if you're nervous about inviting somebody to just come on a regular Sunday morning, then focus on Christmas Eve. Focus on saying, hey, we would just love to have you and your family join us on Christmas Eve for a night of worship and hot chocolate and just to express that together. Everybody, every family, everyone, whether you are a churchgoer or not, is looking for family-friendly things to do on Christmas Eve. Why not invite them to church, to our family here at church? So focus on that. We will have an amazing opportunity to worship the Lord together. As we refocus here on trust, this is a series that we're in right now. This is the last week of this series, but this isn't the last week that you should be challenged to trust the Lord, right? So we've been, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about trusting God's understanding instead of our own understanding, right? We've been talking about trusting. Thank you. why, the reason, okay, Billy, Pastor, I get it. I understand why I should trust God, because God has never, ever, ever, ever failed. What I don't know is how. So how do I trust God with my financial resources? Let's take a look at that. Because the thing is, that's both a thoughtful question as well as a practical, you know, one. It's thoughtful because you have to remember the promises that you read throughout Scripture. All of the time we read that we can trust God with everything. We've talked about that for the last 3 weeks. So from a it's practical, because how do I do it? How do I literally do it? God has promised throughout Scripture. But more than that, and you might have to take a minute to think about this. You might have to take a moment or take a day to really sit down and think about this. We read about God being trustworthy throughout Scripture, but more than that, God has proven himself in your life. Now, I'm going to make that claim, not knowing all of your situations, every aspect of all your situations, but I'm going to make that claim because I know it's true. That if you look at your life, your circumstances, your history, God has proven himself in your life. I guarantee it, if you're honest with yourself. I just told you the story about how God provided for my family. And I'll tell you, I hear stories like this all the time. I heard another story about a young lady. This was in Lafayette. There was a young lady that was struggling financially. She was leaving an abusive relationship, and it was a very difficult time. And so the church, we stepped in to help this individual. And, you know, part of this transition and leaving an abusive relationship is understanding your finances and, you know, taking care of childcare and all these sorts of things. And so this person had a job, and we were talking with this young lady and expressed that we as a church wanted to make sure she had the things that she needed. And we were even going to go a step further for her. This was an unusual circumstance. This was a person that was very fearful, understandably so. But we decided we were going to go a step further, and we said, look, here's what we're going to do, because we believe in this so much. We're going to not only pay the bills that you need today, but we're also going to give you a check for enough money that you feel like you can trust the Lord with your financial resources. In other words, we're going to give you a check, and we're going to ask you to be faithful with that check and use that to trust the Lord and basically tithe back to the church. This is just a practical exercise that we went through. And I can remember, this was amazing. This young lady, she called me up and she's like, Pastor, you will not believe what just happened. I trusted the Lord. I did the thing that you asked me to do, to just release those dollars out of my checking account. And the next day, I got a call from our childcare person saying that I didn't have to worry about childcare for the next month, that it was paid. It was somebody, and I had no idea who did it, but somebody had reached out to the people that her childcare was through and completely paid it. And so this young lady said, I can see that God actually provides. And she was very clear. I know that, you know, every time I give a dollar to the Lord, that I'm not going to get all of this back. But God very clearly proved himself to me. And it was an amazing opportunity. I hear stories like this all the time. When people make the conscious choice to honor the Lord with their finances, 100% of the time, God comes through. So much so that there are churches that give tithing promises that will say, basically, if you tithe whatever the Lord has put in your heart and you give to the Lord whatever that is, if there's ever a time you can't pay your bills, we will give you back 100% of everything you've ever given to the church. Like, that's a big promise. And never, ever, ever has any church actually given that money back, because God follows through with his promises, because God actually does take care of things. God's promises are real. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Historically, in your life, what is the reality of God's promises in your life? And you can answer this. This is just private between you and the Lord, maybe between you and your spouse. What is the historical reality in your life? Here's the question. Has the Lord provided for you? Has the Lord provided for you? Think back on that. Realize what the Lord has done in your life. And the answer to that question should help you understand, should help you come to grips a little bit more with the why you should trust the Lord with your financial resources. When we think about the amount of times that the Lord provides for our needs, then we realize there's nothing I need that the Lord won't provide. And after we look at that thoughtful answer, after we realize that God has in fact provided for you personally, that leaves us with the practical side of this question. And in order to see that, let's look at verse 9. In verse 9, we read, "We honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your produce." So what does this mean? What does it mean to honor the Lord with the first fruits of your produce? Well, if you're a farmer, and some of you guys are, if you're a farmer, you're like, well, of course, I understand what this means because I literally have first fruits, right? If you're not a farmer, we don't necessarily live in 100% agriculture economy. People make dollars, right? That's what you get. You get paid a wage from your job. So your first crops go to the Lord or to the temple, right? That's what the first fruits mean. But in our society, we have dollars. Those are our first fruits. So we translate this into a way that applies to everyone. Then we see that we honor the Lord with your first fruits means to honor the Lord with the first of your finances. Listen, this is very important that I'm going to say here. This does not mean, to honor the Lord with the first fruits of your resources does not mean pay all your bills and see what's left. It means honor the Lord with the first fruits. It's called a tithe. So let me set this up very easily. I just want to give you a practical example. Let's say, and just for easy math here, let's say you get paid $100 per day. $100 per day. Then the very first thing that you're going to do is you're going to subtract a tithe, which is technically 10%. We're going to go into that in a second. So if you get paid $100 per day, you're going to tithe the first $10. That means on your budget sheet. And I know most of you probably do some sort of a budget sheet. What you give to the Lord is the first thing on that budget sheet. Every single time you get paid, for whatever reason, this means if you get paid for a side job, if you get paid for your real job, but whatever the reason is, every single time you get paid, you give to God the first of that. Now, let me just say this. I'm just going to say, those of you, there are some, I know, in any church and anyone watching online, there are some people that a tithe is a really big step. Just going to be honest about that. So what if you trusted the Lord, instead of with 10%, because that can be hard, what if you said, Lord, I'm going to trust you with the first 1% of my income. The very first 1%. That means I make $100, I give $1 to the Lord. The key is, it's the first, not the leftover. That's the most important key right there. See, first fruits means you don't give God what is left over, but you give God what is first. Now, there's a lot of questions that could be asked about how to trust the Lord with your finances. For instance, do you trust the Lord with your net? Do you trust the Lord with the gross? Do you trust the Lord with your bonuses? What if you make extra money from stocks? Like, okay, so there's a lot of different practical questions, and those can be talked about practically. If you would like some questions, if you'd like to talk about that. But really, in order to answer those questions, I think we should look at something that Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart." Here's the key: not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, there's some practical questions that are left up to the Christian. There's a thing that we have. We have Christian freedom. And so there's some practical questions that you can say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't, you know, net or gross, which one do I do? Which one do you want to do? Not under compulsion, not reluctantly, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So which one do you want to do? Where do you want to go? There's not like a, you don't trust the Lord if you do this, you only trust the Lord if you do it this way. That's not what's being said here. Paul is very clear. God loves a cheerful giver. So some of these things are left up to you as a Christian, as a believer. Your goal is to be pleasing to the Lord. So when you answer that question, are you being pleasing to the Lord? That's it. Are you being pleasing to the Lord? Because if I want to be pleasing to God, then I will trust God with my wealth. And then I will give it cheerfully. So this morning, if we're honest, here's the big question for the day. If you're being honest, are you trusting God with your wealth? Are you, in your house, in your family, trusting God with your wealth? Listen. I think I told you guys a story about myself with financial when I went on to being full-time at a church and I wasn't quite trusting the Lord. So I was doing extra jobs trying to make up the gap that I felt like was there. And once I finally gave up that and trying to deal with my financial needs myself, then the Lord just opened the door to take care of the things that I needed. Are you trusting God with your wealth? So as we close this morning, we've done things differently. We've done our offering differently this morning. We haven't passed that yet. So as we close this morning, I want you to think about your personal situation, where you are this morning. Remember that God already knows what you're going through. I want to be very clear. We talked about this last time. God already knows what you're going through, and if he already knows what you're going through, he already knows how to get you out of it, right? He already knows the situation. So with that in mind, are you trusting God, not just with your physical day-to-day situation, but are you trusting God with your financial situation? Now this morning, I asked that we change things up with our moment of offering, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because this morning I'm going to challenge you not to give any more, but potentially to give less. Here's the thing. We're going to go to worship through giving. And if you came here this morning already saying, I know what I want to give to the Lord because I want to honor the Lord with what he has given me. I already know the dollar amount for that. Then I want to ask you to honor the Lord with that. But if you came this morning and you said, well, when the offering passes, I'm going to see what I have in my wallet. I'm going to see what's in my pants pocket. I'm going to just, you know, whatever happens, maybe I'll put a couple of dollars in. Maybe I'll put $100 in, you know, depending on how the day goes, I'll see how much I give. If you came this morning and you said, when the offering plate comes, I'll figure out what I'm going to give, then I'm going to ask you not to give anything. I'm going to ask you not to put that because, as we read in 2 Corinthians, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I want to honor the words there in 2 Corinthians. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly and not under compulsion. So if you're here this morning, and this morning as we've talked about trusting the Lord, you say, the Lord has convicted me of my personal trust in him, and I feel like I should be trusting him more with my financial resources, then I'm going to ask you to take that home this week and spend some time praying about it. Take that home and have that conversation between you and the Lord. And if the Lord has convicted you and if the Lord has spoken to you, then you come back next week and you give as the Lord has directed you to give. But you don't give this morning because, oh man, pastor talked about tithing, so now I feel like I should give a couple extra dollars. That's not what we do. That's what's called under compulsion. So I'm going to ask you to hold on to that and bring it back next week. Because I don't want you to give reluctantly. I don't want anyone in this room to give out of compulsion, out of feeling like I have to give so much in order for God to love me. I have to give so much in order for God to bless me. What I want to encourage you to do this morning is to trust God with your resources. And if you did not come prepared with what you were already set in your mind about what you were planning to give to the Lord, then I'm going to ask you to take what you have home and spend some time praying over it and come back next week with whatever the Lord has laid on your heart. Because I don't want you to give reluctantly. I don't want you to give under compulsion. I want you to honor the Lord with your finances. I want you to trust the Lord with your finances. And I want you to do it with cheer as God directs you, as God leads you. I want you to give with cheer after thoughtfully talking it over with God, having that conversation with the Lord, maybe with your spouse also. Because that is how we honor the Lord with our financial resources. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, you are an amazing God that answers all of our questions that we didn't even know we had. And Lord, you've already prepared the answer for those. This morning, Lord, as we have talked about our financial resources, as we've talked about your faithfulness and our ability to trust you, not just in our physical situations, not just in our emotional situations, not just in our spiritual situations, but also with our financial situations. So Lord, this morning, I want to ask that you give each of us the cheer, the joy of the Lord as we get to worship you at this time. As we get to sacrifice of our first fruits, giving to you the first of our labor, so that we can give back to you just a tiny amount of what you've blessed us with. Lord, we know that our needs may not always be what we feel like we need, may not always be the thing that we need. And so we trust you this morning with our financial situation, whatever that may be. And we trust that you have things figured out, Lord. That you know what the answer to the questions are. And we trust you to walk us into those answers, Lord. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. And thank you for your faithfulness that we can trust 100% of the time. In your name we pray. Amen. This time I'm going to ask the